A dog wearing a top hat and bow tie. Beneath are the words Kismet Entertainment Group. Kismet Entertainment Group and the Noel Gay Motion Picture Company present in association with Victor Film Company. A Carousel Picture Company production with the support of the Luxembourg Film Fund. Scotland. A man collects water from a loch in a billy can, then joins a woman sitting beside a campfire.
You're all right. This is definitely better than being at work. One thing he didn't warn us about, though. Bloody midges.
Your big girl's blouse. Anyway, now that you've mentioned work, and seeing as I bullied you to come all the way out here to celebrate the fact...
The woman takes something out of a pocket in her rucksack.
Here. Congratulations. No knight should be without his sword.
An ornate letter opener.
I don't know what to say.
But my writer, lost for words.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and it's also solid silver, so don't lose it.
Later, night has fallen and the couple are kissing in their tent. The man gently runs his hand down the bare flesh of his girlfriend's stomach, then proceeds to unzip her trousers. The rasping sound is echoed by the tent zip being opened. Both of them stare at the closed flap. Then the man picks up a torch and turns it on. They're both frozen in horror. Something reaches in and grabs the girl's legs. It tries to yank her out, but she clings to her boyfriend. She's lifted off the ground as the macabre tug of war takes place. The man loses his grip, and his face is instantly splattered with blood. The girl is dragged out. His fingers cautiously reach for the silver letter opener. Outside, a full moon hangs in a pale blue sky. Title: Dog Soldiers. North Wales, 2 hours later. A man looks up and sees a bright light in the pitch black sky. A fierce-looking dog on a lead barks, and the man starts running through woodland. He's being chased through the pouring rain by armed men wielding torches. A pursuer points his torch as the man charges towards him, rolls on the ground, then rises up with a hammer blow to the face. Commandeering the torch, he uses it as a weapon to dispatch two more before being punched in the face and finding himself at gunpoint.
Nice try, Private Cooper. You evaded capture for 22 hours and 47 minutes. Go straight to the head of the class.
What's the real trick to survival?
Lies not in running and hiding, but in removing your enemy's capacity to hunt you down.
Cooper's commanding officer turns to look at the dog.
Here, shoot the dog.
He offers Cooper a pistol.
I'm sorry, sir, what?
Take the weapon and use it. During the selection process, you are under my command. That's a direct order, Cooper.
You're taking a piss, right?
He thinks I'm pulling his leg. Do I look like a shutting comedian? Shit, why?
No, stop! Still won't do it.
You don't have a choice. Finish the job. Shoot the dog.
Shoot it! No, stop!
What use are you to my team if you can't even kill a dog?
I didn't say I couldn't kill a dog, sap. I just will not kill that dog for no reason.
Again, Cooper, I don't need a man of conscience.
You're failing me for this!
You failed yourself! We're on a different level here, Cooper. For that, I need men of action. Not deeds.
He shoots the dog.
No!
You
fucking bastard!
It's just a dog, that's all. Maybe one day when that's sunk into your thick skull, you'll be ready for us. Until then, you live and learn.
Yeah, you don't.
Cooper punches the officer, who swiftly pins his arm behind his back and gets him on his knees.
I don't do second chances, Cooper. And I never forget.
Cooper's thrown to the ground.
Or to you, this pathetic piece of shit. Send him back to his squad.
4 weeks later, the Highlands of Scotland. Flying above a mountainous ridge patched with snow, then over dense woodland and past a small island, marooned in the centre of a loch. The vast wilderness rushes past beneath the belly of the helicopter. The craft slowly comes into land in a forest clearing. Its rotors whir as it inches down towards the forest floor. Tall trees with slender trunks pepper the surrounding slopes, which are carpeted with ferns and bracken. The landing gear hovers just above the ground, then finally it touches down. Camouflage-clad soldiers pile out of the chopper, wearing heavy backpacks and carrying guns.
Shut it up! It's a chopper! I'm not waiting for this! It's only gone! I'm not good!
The men hurtle down a steep slope, and the chopper takes off again. They each take up position behind trees and train their guns on the surrounding forest area. Flies away, rising up above the forest canopy. Snow-capped mountains dominate the distant skyline.
Stay up.
Most of the soldiers take off their helmets. One runs his hand over his shaved head.
Cooper! I want a position and bearing. I want to be the move in 3 minutes.
On it, Sarge.
Spoon, Terry, you're on stag. Joe, for fuck's sake. Get off your big fat lardy ass and make like a soldier. Right then. Time sink. I've got 0730 coming up in 3, 2, 1. Oh, check.
Bollocks, I don't believe this.
What is it now, Witherspoon?
Fluffy, watch at the barracks, Sarge.
I take a breather every once in a while, son. You live longer.
Nice work, Spoon, you tosser.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
And you'll be taking my boot out your mouth in a minute, Joe, you baldy twat.
Pissing hell.
Close save, eh, Jet?
Oh, this site is totally bone. The most important football match of my life is playing tonight, and I'm stuck up the backside of beyond without so much as a six-pack or a telly.
Well, that's the army for you.
Hey, it's England v Germany, man. Full-on footy war.
Yeah, well, it's nothing like this at all, then, is it, Joe?
It's just an exercise. Hardly life or death.
Don't bet on it, Joe. You're fucking slaying me.
If you'd paid any attention at all during the briefing, Kirkley, you'd know exactly who we were up against on this harmless little exercise, wouldn't you?
And who's that, then?
Special Forces, you plonker.
Well, bollocks to them.
All right. Now listen up, I'm going to make this quick and to the point, because just like you, all I want to do is get home, jump into a warm bed with a nice hot woman and watch the footy.
Planning on scoring, Sarge?
Yeah, well, mind you don't foul her in the penalty box.
Oh, all right, button it, Private Parts. Now, as of this moment, as far as we're concerned, we are 50K behind enemy lines. Now, if we do happen to make a contact, I expect nothing less than gratuitous violence from the lot of you. Because we're firing blanks, it doesn't mean we have to be thinking nice thoughts. So you remember, you put the fire down, right? You get stuck in and you kick their fucking teeth out. Or I guarantee you, Joe, they will be having your bollocks for breakfast, sunshine.
Hard boiled or fried, Sarge?
Scrambled. Yeah, Spoony.
Oh, smart.
Because it's nice and new and shiny doesn't mean it's worth shit. Remember, I want that back, son.
What about you, Sarge?
Well, I'll count, won't I? Right then, Coop, what we got?
A map.
We're here. The front line is here. AWACS reports enemy positions here, here, and here. With sweeping patrols between each of these forward bunkers, they'll have the whole sector wrapped tighter than an Eskimo's nadsack. With one exception, right here. A river crosses the line through a gorge 30 or 40 feet deep. And they're certain to have a patrol on it, but if we go at night, tread careful and don't mind getting our feet wet, I reckon we can make it through.
A rabbit's foot.
The fuck is all this about, then?
And in my luck lately, I need all the help I can get.
You listen to me, I know you think it was a piss-poor call, you failing selection and all of that, but I've got to say I'm not sorry. The squad would be a lot worse off without you, mate.
That was something I had to do, you know. For myself, get it out of my system.
Listen, the only people who go looking for trouble are kamikazes, glory boys, and full-on fucking fuckwits. Take my advice, son. Patient. Right then, ladies! Pack up your troubles, put your brains in first gear and start tabbing. Spoonie, you're on point. Terry, Joe, tail end Charlie's.
There's a helmet at Cooper's feet.
Over here, Cooper, on me head.
He kicks it.
Yeah, twatter! I can't believe I'm missing the footy for this party.
Joe, if you don't shut up, I swear to God, I'm gonna fucking slot you myself. Now move.
Didn't say a word, Sarge.
Leading the men, Spoon eyes the snow-capped mountains in the distance.
Now.
With an anxious look around, he moves on, driving the squad forward. Climbing to the crest of a hill, then descending through woods, the soldiers' trek takes them past grazing Highland cattle, before leading them to the bank of a river, where they stop to rest.
I heard a cracking story about this place.
You what?
People disappear out here. Happens all the time.
Go on, Cooper, I'd give it some bollocks.
It's true. Just last month, a young couple were hiking through these woods. They set up camp somewhere near here. During the night, something happened. Mountain rescue team found the remains of the camp a couple of days later. The tent was ripped to shreds and there was blood everywhere. The paper said it was a monster like the Beast of Bodmin Moor. Locals claimed it was an escaped lunatic. But no one's been caught, so nothing could be proved either way. Every year, more and more people come through here. Every once in a while, they don't come back. No trace, no bodies, just disappear. I'm never seen again.
Later, and the men are on the move once more. Climbing a steep bank, the men are unaware that a pair of binoculars is trained on them. Crouching beneath natural cover, the special ops officer is watching them.
Contact camp. Tell them the flock is heading for the fold.
Later, it's night time, and the squad has set up camp in a clearing at the foot of a rock face.
Well then, Bruce, what scares you?
The self-destructive nature of the human condition.
Just taking a piss now.
What do you think, sir?
What about you then, Spoon?
Castration.
Yeah. There's no argument there. Joe?
Only one thing guaranteed to put the shits at me. A penalty shootout.
Figures. Teddy?
Watching a penalty shootout. With Joe.
What about you, Coop?
Spiders. And women. And spider women.
I want to know what scares a Sarge.
Piss off, man. Nothing scares a Sarge.
I don't know about that. The thought of never seeing my wife again scares the shit out of me. That and those little things that make your skin crawl. And the hairs stand up the back of your neck.
You mean like Spoon?
Spoon sticks up two fingers.
No, there's one thing, actually, in particular, that I'll remember till the day that I die. Yeah, it's back in 91, just before my unit was flown out to Kuwait to mop up the last pockets of resistance. Me and this young fella, called Eddie Oswald, decided to go and get a tattoo done to commemorate our first trip into the desert.
I remember Eddie. He was a stocky hard case with a broken nose and a bong eye,
yeah? Yeah, that's him. Good-looking fella, big hit with the ladies. Anyway, me and Eddie, we went out a few drinks. We had a lot of drinks. And we went down to the tattoo parlour and I got a desert rat done. And Eddie, being Eddie, wanted something a bit more meaning. And being a bit of a believer, he said that his soul still belonged to God. But his flesh was way beyond redemption. it was up to Satan to save his skin. So he got this fucking great laughing devil tattooed right on his arse. Anyway, about 6 days later, we were making a regular sweep along the Iraqi border. And Eddie, poor fucker, triggered an anti-tank mine. Yeah, we all saw it happen. I mean, he was on point. White, blinding, lightning flash and a fucking deafening crack. And by the time we picked ourselves up off the deck, Eddie was... he was gone. Just bits and pieces of him. It's all that remained. This big fucking red circle, 100 metres. I'll tell you something, lads. It really puts things in perspective when you have to scoop your mate up with a shovel and stick him in a bin bag. Anyway, the thing that really did our nuts in that day was when you came across a bit you recognised. Bit of ear, toe and nose, a tooth. But the thing that really freaked us out that day was when left-hand Charlie found a bit of Eddie with a tattoo on. I mean, everything else was burnt to a crisp, covered in claret, all mushed up, pulped up. Not this bit. This bit was perfect. And there's old Nick, chortling his fucking arsehole off at us. So you could say that Eddie was right. That Satan did indeed save his skin, just not all of it. Or you could say that Eddie was just unlucky. Either way, it taught me to keep a very open mind. Boom, boom. Anyway.
The Sarge raises a cup.
Eddie Oswald.
To Eddie.
To Eddie.
Seeing the Sarge hang his head, Spoon tries to find the right words.
So anyway, this bloke walks into a pub, right, with a dog under his arm, puts us down on the bar, goes and sits down. The bartender's looking at him thinking, what the fucking hell's going on here? Then he looks back at the dog, and to his surprise, the dog turns around and says,
fucking cow!
Fucking hell!
Terry,
Terry, what the hell are you doing? You're firing blanks, man.
Is everyone all right? Is everyone OK?
No, man, I think I've shit myself.
A dead cow has fallen into their camp.
He's dead.
Oh, yeah, it's dead all right.
Look at the state of it. Oh, God, look at the state of Terry.
These aren't entry wounds. More like teeth marks.
You're saying, Cooper?
What he's saying, Terry, is it died of natural causes, mate.
Don't you think we should call us in, Sarge?
Aye. Get on the radio, Bruce.
Now, there's no way I'm about to break radio silence because you lot got spooked by a dead fly fucking cow. No, we hold this position. We keep it secure till the morning. Then we reassess the situation. Right, so I want a watch posted. 214 off. Brucey, Spoon, you're up first. Keep an eye relieve at 0100 hours. And in the meantime, Terry, sort your kit out. The rest of you get your heads down. Unbelievable.
Standing alone under a full moon, the special ops officer holds up his night vision binoculars when something in the darkness catches his eye. Scanning the area around him, he's unaware that he's being watched from above. Growing uneasy, he spins around but isn't quick enough to catch sight of his lurking stalker. Something is running through the woods. Just as he's reaching for his gun, the officer's attacked from behind. Blood splatters over a rock. Spoon's crouching over a ledge.
Cow came in from this direction, straight off the edge.
Out of the frying pan onto the fire.
Bleeding to death, it could have wandered around for miles before I got here.
Yeah, well, it's good of it to leave some breadcrumbs for us to follow, eh?
Looking for trouble?
No, Cooper. Just looking.
Sarge, shouldn't we just report this when we get back?
Too fucking right, Terry, but in the meantime, I'm curious. It's on the way.
Come on, lads.
The squad sets off once more, this time with the Sarge on point. He seems extra vigilant now as he leads his men through the woods. It's Spotting something on the ground, he gives them the signal to stop and crouch down, then walks over to a branch of a fallen tree, on which he finds a tuft of animal fur. Examining, then discarding it, he gestures for the men to head right, then gets to his feet and leads them onward. A little further down the slope, the Sarge raises his arm, fist clenched, bringing his men to a halt. Taking out his knife, he bends down and skewers an internal organ lying on the floor.
Natural causes, my arse.
A flare shot into the air.
Oh, now what?
Moving in single file, the soldiers negotiate a narrow passageway formed by a deep gully between the rocks. At a deserted camp, blood drips from a log, and a pile of intestines soil the muddy earth. Cooper rubs his forehead, then quickly picks up a rifle he finds lying on the ground and checks the ammunition. Abandoned weapons and military equipment lay strewn throughout the camp.
Christ on a bike!
What the fucking hell happened here, Sarge?
This is getting more boring by the minute.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Sarge.
All right, lads. Get a grip.
We've got casualties to locate. So, ditch your Bergens. Salvage whatever weapons you can find and stand to. We are now up against live, hostile targets. So, if little Red Riding Hood should show up with a bazooka and a bad attitude, I expect you to chin the bitch.
Looks like they got hit hard and fast. Every magazine is full. Nobody got off a single round.
If they're lost, then where are the bodies?
Yeah. All right, Corporal. Get on the net. Call in. On emergency airlift immediately.
I'm on it.
Ah, shit! Contact! Contact!
The wounded officer's pointing a handgun.
Help me.
Captain? Ryan? What happened here?
Do not tell me you fucking know him.
Captain Ryan, Special Ops.
I fucking don't know that.
Spearhead Patrol, this is Spearhead Patrol. You're receiving.
He looked like he took on Jack the Ripper and came last.
I can patch him up, but he needs a medic right now.
This is emergency, code 64.
You've got to get me out of here. Do you understand? There was only supposed to be one.
We're working on it, Captain.
Sarge.
Not now, Spear.
You're receiving.
They sit Ryan up.
Shit.
What's wrong, Bruce?
Can't find a signal. Didn't you check it? Of course I checked it, and I double-checked it, and it worked fine.
All right, Bruce, stay on it, see what you can do. Terry, this team must have had their own comms kit. Have a look around, see if you can find it. Go!
Sarge.
Spoon, have a shifty around the camp. See if you can find anything else useful.
Yeah, but...
Not now, Spoon!
This is Spearhead Patrol. Are you receiving me?
Ryan's trembling.
It was only supposed to be one. Charnel House is compromised to fuck. How's he doing here?
All I know is he's Special Forces. But if this is part of our exercise, they're not advertising. No cap badge, no insignia, just tags.
What do you mean, some kind of covert action?
Covert action or not? They're packing all kinds of weird shit. Tranquilizer darts, nets, you name it. This is less like a Special Ops mission, more like a fucking safari.
Sarge? Found their radio.
Oh, shit, I don't believe it.
There was only supposed to be one!
What's he on about, Sarge?
Terry, get back on stag now.
You've got to get me out of here before they come back.
Who, Captain? Who is going to come back?
They tore them to pieces in front of my eyes!
There's often one, Sarge. If you don't get him somewhere warm soon, he's going to die of hypothermia.
Stay with Captain. Captain, Ryan, stay with me.
Sarge.
Not now, Spoon!
I don't know if you care, but in about half an hour, it's going to be dark.
Does anybody copy?
As Ryan slips into unconsciousness, the Sarge sits down beside Bruce, who's working on the radio.
Any joy?
Fuses are blown.
You fix it.
Well, maybe it was faulty, or maybe some damp got in the casing, but it's fried the circuits.
Well, it's useless, mate. Bin it.
I also found this. It's attached inside, not part of the radio. Looks like a transmitter.
Why would they put a bug in our radio?
It's the Kobayashi-Maru test. They fixed it so we can't fuck him, mate.
Bannet spoon. No, Terry, it's probably some joke. I didn't want Joe to hear the footy results.
Nah, I nearly shat.
Miss Grange, anything useful?
Weapons, ammunition, a couple of magnesium flares. That's about it. The rest is fucked.
Right, lads. Ditch your ATs. From here on in, the exercise is well and truly over. Anyone not carrying live rounds had better do so.
Bruce.
It won't make any difference. They won't die.
Yeah, well, this gives me a better peace of mind, sir.
You want peace of mind? Run for your lives before they tear your legs from under you.
Now, you just shut up like a good gentleman. You are scaring my lads.
What the fuck?
Christ.
Oh, shit.
All right, lads. Grab what you can. Head for the tree line. We're moving. Let's go.
Yo.
Cooper and Joe help Ryan to his feet as the squad make a hasty retreat. The men take cover behind the trees.
Right! I need a volunteer for rear guard action.
I'll do it.
Nice one. When we're clear, you fall back. We're going to be there to cover you. Right, off you go. Bruce, no heroics. Right, Spoonie, you're on point. Joe, help Ryan. Terry, you're up next. Coop, you win me. Right, lads, let's have it through the long grass. Double time. Go! Come on, sunshine. Fucking shift it.
Grabbing Terry by the shoulder and sparking him into action, the Sarge follows the others into a densely wooded part of the forest. Meanwhile, covering the rear, Bruce is on his own. Crouching behind a fallen tree trunk, he scans the area directly in front of him, keeping his rifle trained at all times. His concentration lapses when an eerie breeze caresses the treetops all around him. The Sarge hears the howl too. Bruce's gun barrel moves with each sharp intake of breath. A shadow passes across Bruce's field of vision, but his gun jams. Checking the magazine, he reloads the rifle, but it still won't fire. After a third failed attempt, he decides to fall back rapidly. Unsure about which direction to go, he stops and stands his ground. It's no use. His rifle won't fire, so he discards it and makes a run for it. He comes to a sudden halt, then blood oozes from his mouth. In his haste, Bruce has charged straight into the jagged end of a fallen tree trunk that has run through him like a stake. As he's yanked off the tree trunk, the sound alerts the Sarge, who's in the area investigating. Rotating as he moves, he keeps all angles covered with his rifle. After pausing, the Sarge ventures forward until, stepping on something, he bends down to see what it is. A hand makes a grab at him, but misses by inches. He looks down.
Bruce! Bruce!
Leaving the dead corporal behind, the Sarge makes his escape, but a claw to the stomach sends him flying to the ground, with his intestines exposed.
Jesus!
The Sarge's attacker takes a burst from Cooper's gun.
Cooper, get out of it! Jesus, I've been, mate!
He said no heroics, you bloody hypocrite.
Oh,
where's Bruce?
He's all over there, and he fucking tore him apart. You piss off! That is an order! Incoming! Off.
You can take your orders and shovel up your ass.
Oh, Jesus. My guns are out, Coop.
Well, we'll just put them back in again.
They're not going to fucking fit.
Of course they'll fit, man. Here. Come on. Oh. Come on.
Cooper helps the Sarge to his feet.
Coming up aboard, clear flag.
The Sarge stumbles, but Cooper helps him up.
God! My God!
To your rear! Target!
They caught up with the rest of their squad.
Target!
Under attack, the soldiers fall back.
Coming fire! Coming from! Target!
Flashing glimpses of their enemies reveal them to be dog-like creatures. The men take turns to provide covering fire while the others fall back. A spoon nears a road. A car's headlights penetrate the mist.
On me! On me!
As a 4x4 makes its way towards them, Spoon dives into the path of the oncoming vehicle.
Stop!
A woman opens the driver's door.
Get in!
Everybody on me!
Hurry!
No! No!
They pile into the 4x4.
Oh, shit!
As they slam the door behind them, something lands on the roof of the vehicle.
Just drive!
No! Wait!
One of the creatures is at the window. An arm with razor-sharp claws rips through the roof.
Whereabouts?
The woman finally manages to move the vehicle from the mud. Joe uses his knife to stab right through the creature's arm. The woman puts her foot down and the creature retreats.
Everybody okay back there? Any more casualties? Spoon?
No, I'm all right.
What about Bruce? Where's Bruce? Bruce has got... He's gone.
Oh, fuck it. Just hang on back there. Thank you.
It's okay. What happened?
What happened? We were attacked by huge fucking howling things, that's what.
You were lucky I found you. I was about to give up hope.
And you were here.
I heard gunfire last night. I knew someone was out there. If you weren't already in trouble, then you soon would be.
We are. Two men are down. Both need medical attention, but we need to dress the Sarge's wounds before we can take him too far.
There's only one farm in this glen. The owners are friends. We can take your men there.
In the back, Joe's cradling the unconscious Sarge. Darkness has fallen by the time the 4x4 arrives at an old country house. And the men fall out. While the soldiers scan the surrounding area, the woman runs to the front door.
Hello?
Ryan gets to his feet and leans against the 4x4.
Nobody home?
I don't know where they could be.
All right. Stand back.
Signalling Spoon to cover his back, Cooper raises his rifle and slowly edges through the front door of the house. As Spoon follows him inside, Cooper moves into a living room where a roaring log fire is the only sign of life. Heading back into the hall, he crosses paths with Spoon, who's now on his way upstairs.
Little pigs, we've come to nick your video.
A kitchen door opens, and a torch mounted on the front of Cooper's rifle throws a spotlight onto a fully laid dining table, complete with a freshly cut loaf. Moving towards a simmering saucepan, Cooper spins around when he hears a noise coming from behind a door across the room. Keeping his rifle and torch trained on the door, he inches towards it. Then, switching off the torch, he reaches for the handle. A sheepdog bounds into the room and jumps up at him affectionately. The dog offers a paw. Cooper finishes his sweep of the building.
All clear.
The woman steps inside, followed by a rejuvenated Ryan. The Sarge has helped into the house, while Cooper and Joe stand guard at the doorway.
What the fuck happened back there, Cooper?
I don't know, mate. She might have some answers.
When Joe heads into the house, Cooper hesitates, then follows him inside.
All clear upstairs.
Joe takes a look around.
Where the hell are we now? Home sweet home.
Set him down. Spoon, get a field dressing on that wound. Terry, keep an eye out front.
Cooper eyes Ryan as he takes a seat, clutching the wounds on his chest.
Kill off.
Joe picks up the saucepan.
Is there a telephone here?
What? No.
Still hot, lads?
Wait, you can't just help yourself.
I'm chin-strapped and I'm bloody starving. I can't help myself.
It's the training, miss. Never waste an opportunity to eat. Come on.
See? Now look what I'm doing.
Get it down your necks, lads.
Spoon's too busy treating the Sarge's wounds to eat with the others, while Ryan refuses a bowl that's offered to him.
Hold it, hold it.
Top grub, what is it?
Don't know, mate. Looks like pork.
Yeah, well, leave some for us, you greedy mongrels.
Miss, where is the nearest phone?
50 miles as the crow flies.
The woman takes off her hat and runs a hand through her brunette curls.
What about the nearest population centre?
You mean a town? Well, Fort William, but it's at least a 4-hour drive back the way we just came. Do you think your wounded can make it?
We have to try. The Sarge is in serious trouble if we don't. You seem to know these roads. Will you take us?
Right now.
Well, unless your friends have just gone walkabout, this place may be compromised.
Fine. Sooner the better. Let's go.
All right. Spoon, on me. Everyone else, hang back till we bring the car about. Joe, help Sarge. Terry, watch him. Safety's off.
Cooper and Spoon step outside with their weapons at the ready. Edging their way through the darkness, with only Cooper's torch providing light, they're right on top of the 4x4 before they realise something's wrong. Lowering his rifle, Cooper ignites a flare and holds it up. The 4x4's bonnet has been ripped to shreds, and the engine and wires inside severely damaged. A creature.
Don't shoot.
Another.
Don't stare back. I can't help it. Go!
Falling back to the house, Cooper sprays the vehicle with bullets. The 4x4 explodes.
That puts a kibosh on that plan.
That was my car!
Suddenly, the front door bursts open, but Cooper's in the way and manages to hold the creature back.
Sam, no!
Get up!
The dog's pulling at the Sarge's bandages.
Step back!
The man steps towards home. Cooper sticks his gun out of the letterbox.
Dog off me!
No!
Dog off me!
God, Sam!
Shut the dog up!
Sam, come here!
What the fuck is happening?
Terry, right foot, cover the window!
Christ.
Ryan's about to shoot the dog when Terry vomits over the back of his head.
That's bloody charming, that is.
Terry prepares for the worst as Ryan gets to his feet.
You incompetent moron!
Do I have a fucking go, like?
Joe squares up to Ryan, who backs off.
Bathroom.
Upstairs, far end of passage.
We need to talk, Ryan.
Doesn't look like I'm going anywhere, does it?
Joe, Spoon, looks like we're staying. You know what to do. I want a secure perimeter with a clear field of fire that give them something inviting. Right?
You want it?
Joe ruffles Terry's hair.
Terry, you okay?
Got a real craving for a kebab?
I'll take that as a yes. Look, we've got limited ammunition. When you get as many pots and pans as you can lay your hands on, fill them with water and keep them on the boil, all right? Terry, where you're at, stick the kettle on. Could all do with a brew.
Spoon's boarding up a kitchen window when Terry lights the hob.
Terry, get under this.
He takes one end of a large cupboard.
Other side, other side. Ah, you fool.
You came here because of them, right?
I don't have a fucking clue what they are, and right now I don't really care.
Then what are you doing here?
This was supposed to be a routine training exercise, and that's all.
So this wasn't a rescue mission?
What?
No, I guess not.
Back door's secure.
What's happening out there, Spoon?
Well, they're still moving around out there, but they're keeping the distance, staying within the tree line.
Maybe they've had enough for one night.
Not likely. They're smart. You've seen what they can do. My guess is they're doing exactly what you'd be doing in their shoes. They're working as a team, looking for a weakness, a way in.
I'm not about to second-guess these things. They're the enemy, simple as that.
This is no ordinary enemy.
In the bathroom, Ryan's finished cleaning himself up. Throwing water over his face, he pauses to study his reflection in the mottled mirror.
You know what this reminds me of? Rorke's Drift. 100 men of Harlech making a desperate stand against 10,000 Zulu warriors. Outnumbered, surrounded, staring death in the face, not flinching for a moment. Balls of British steel. You're bloody loving this, aren't you? It's totally bone. That's all there is to say.
Joe flops onto a chair while Spoon smashes a small pane of glass in the window and points his rifle through the hole.
What are we talking about here, wolves?
Not entirely wolf, nor all human, but something in between.
Wolf men. I'm gonna laugh, right? I may be nuts, but I'm no fruitcake.
Fine. Stay here and drink tea. I thought you might be here because of them, but I guess not. Just don't be an arsehole.
I like your new girlfriend, Coop.
How you feeling?
Touch of gas. And the fact that various body parts trying to vacate the premises. Fucking awful.
Terry brings Spoon and Joe a cup of tea.
What's that? Cheers. Heads up!
Something moves outside and Spoon opens fire.
For crying out loud, man!
Short, controlled bursts!
Do you have a name, soldier?
Cooper. Gonna need your help here, miss.
My name is Megan. And I know how to kill...
Shit, sorry, you're looking like a slave. Look, I need to get some super glue and some whiskey, all right?
I'll see what I can do.
Come on.
No.
Sorry about the arsehole thing. I've got a mean streak a mile across.
Sorry. Leave some of what I think.
Can you pass me my gun, please? Thank you. Come on, Coop.
Yeah.
Up the wooden hill. Where are we going, Coop?
You don't want to know.
Cooper helps the Sarge upstairs. Meanwhile, the rest of the men are scouring the house looking for weapons. Joe finds an axe. The best Terry can do is an electric carving knife. But with a mischievous grin, Spoon holds up an impressive broadsword he's found in a large chest in the living room. Outside, one of the creatures is on the move.
What's of glue for?
Ever wonder why the best thing that super glue sticks together is your fingers?
Fuck,
give it. Forget your grandma's china cups. This stuff was developed for the Vietnam War to patch up broken soldiers. How are you feeling, Sarge?
Absolutely fucking top fucking bollocks.
Give it.
The Sarge is reluctant to give up his pistol, but accepts a bottle in exchange.
I'm sure you should be chasing painkillers with whiskey.
Yeah, he's armed it.
Is it your birthday, Coop?
No, mate.
Is it my birthday? Hey!
No. Are you going to thank us for this in the morning?
I'll tell you something, mate. I'm going to fucking thank you. Right now, I'm going to thank you because you saved my life. You got me out of there, mate.
Oh, you would have done the same thing.
If I'd done the same fucking thing, I would have saved Bruce, wouldn't I? Yeah. Fuck!
As the Sarge's screams echo throughout the house, downstairs, Ryan's warming himself in front of a fire.
Jesus!
The Sarge looks down at his open wound.
Sausages. I'll tell you something, miss, right? This skeezer here, right? He's my best mate. He's a sort of a fucking up. I mean, don't get me wrong, the rest of the geezers in the squad, they're all right, up, you fellas and stuff, and any single one of them married my... marry my sister. If I had one.
The screams are unsettling Terry.
I'll tell you what, I love him. I love you! Like the mate that I love.
Would you like to be alone?
Cooper applies some more super glue.
Dirty fucker!
Here.
That's the adrenaline.
I'll stick. You bomb.
I'll tell you something. Someone better get fucking stuck in soon because it's really starting to hurt. Cooper.
He starts hitting Cooper.
Knock me out. Hit me! Oh, you fucking pussy. Hit me.
The second blow puts him out like a light. Cooper checks to make sure he's all right.
Go.
Later, with the Sarge out for the count, Megan's free to treat his wounds without disturbance. Holding a lamp, Cooper's watching her work.
So how long you lived around here?
2 years. Came here for the wildlife. I'm a zoologist.
So you've heard those stories as well, then?
Yeah, I heard the stories. I went looking. I found evidence. I was fascinated by the possibility...
You can't seriously believe in werewolves.
Straight out of college, I'd have laughed at the suggestion, but now... I know they're as real as you and me. Before tonight is over, you will too. There. I think that'll hold.
You done this before?
Oh, yeah. We glue people's guts together all the time out here.
Spoon slicing the air with a sword when Cooper comes downstairs and picks up his gun.
Everyone tooled up?
To the nines.
He offers Cooper a pan.
I'm fucking eye out that man. Hey, Terry, look sharp. The rest of you. I know things have gone from shit to bone to worse in the last 24 hours, but if we pull our weight and do the job, we still have a fighting chance. No more running. We stand here and we fight. Right? Any questions?
Not just the one, Coop. Exactly what is it we're fighting against?
Megan, you want to run it past the boys?
Lycanthropes.
You what?
That's werewolves to you and me.
You're taking the piss.
What? Makes perfect sense to me.
What, you mean like full moons, silver bullets and eyebrows that join in the middle?
Before you dismiss it offhand, think about what you've seen and heard. The full moon, the teeth, the claws, the howling. Is it so difficult to believe? For a whole year now, I've tracked these things. I've studied them, tried to understand them. Every month, when the moon is full, they hunt as a team, dedicated to the kill. During that time, at least 15 people have vanished. Hikers mostly, in small groups or alone. They're caught out in the open, hunted down, torn apart and devoured. I've never witnessed the actual slaughter, but the next day, no bodies, no werewolves, just blood. The eyebrows thing is nonsense. It's just Dark Age paranoia. Silver bullets, no one's ever got close enough to try.
I'm sold.
Slow down, Spoon. Though Megan may have a point, I'm still not convinced that these things didn't just escape from the local nut house and forget to shave or trim their nails. But they're out there and we're in here. What they may or may not be does not affect our immediate situation one bit.
This is bone. This is so fucking bone!
Anything else?
Yeah. What does bone mean?
Bone. Bollocks. Naff. Not very good.
Right. Anything else I should know?
Call signs, if you need to be specific. Upstairs, you've got Sergeant Wells, who you seem to know inside and out by now. You've got Spoon over there, the vomiting cavalier, Terry. The big guy with the axe is Joe.
Couldn't you forget someone?
Ryan. Captain Ryan is not one of our team.
His being here is hazy at best.
If I could tell you, I would. But I'm just a soldier. Like you.
No stripes. No insignia. A suit in a uniform does not make a soldier. He's with special ops. His team were wiped out last night. He was the only survivor.
I'd advise you against pursuing this line of questioning, Private Cooper.
You're pulling rank on me now, Captain.
You can shove that right up your arse.
I'm saying my being here is a moot point, since I'm now in as much shit as you are.
We're all in the same fucking shit. And we need each other.
I doubt I need you.
You bloody did 2 hours ago.
The U.S.
Crying like a baby you were.
That was then. Circumstances change.
What?
U.S. It's Celtic. The family has lived in this glen for centuries. So what was he doing out there?
I have an idea. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. Come to think of it, Ryan, how are you feeling?
I'm fine.
When we found you, you could barely open your eyes, let alone walk, and then later you managed to run, and now look at you, fighting fit and sitting pretty. Hardly the behaviour of a man who, until recently, was knocking on death's door.
I have a strong constitution.
You're not bloody kidding.
You won't mind if I have a look at that wound of yours.
I just assume you didn't.
I have a responsibility to my patient.
I'm warning you, Cooper, don't touch me.
Get
back!
Ryan pulls out a pistol, but Megan knocks it out of his hand with a pan, giving the others the opportunity to fall on him and check his wounds. Seeing that they're almost completely healed, Cooper picks up a dishcloth and tears it into strips.
Tie him up. I want him to talk.
What are you going to do? Torture him?
I don't know. What would you do?
I'd torture him.
The light flickers, then fails.
What now?
They shut down the generator.
Why would they do that?
Because they can see in the dark.
And you're afraid of it.
This is a pile of rancid shit!
Now what do you believe?
I'm beginning to believe you. I think Joe might have worded it better.
They're on the move.
All right, this is it. Mark your targets and preserve your ammo. 3-round bursts. Only got 1 stun grenade apiece, so only use them if absolutely necessary. And two.
What can I do?
What do you want to do?
Run and hide. I know what's coming.
Take care of Sam. Keep an eye on Ryan. If he tries anything, pan him.
Chasing that first kiss, are we, Cooper?
It's as simple as this. If you're not there for us, we're not here for you.
Taking up a position where she can keep an eye on him, Megan's not intimidated by his fixed stare. While Joe's showing sign of nerves, Spoon's keeping a calm head as he stands ready for action at the foot of the stairs. Behind him, a door handle is gently being tried from the outside. Turning, Spoon raises his gun in readiness. Suddenly, the door opposite takes a pounding, and Spoon has 2 intruders to contend with. Moving quickly, he puts the chain on the door being buffeted and stands back.
Contact!
Coming under attack, Joe scores 4 direct hits.
Die!
Another werewolf tries coming through a window, but Cooper and Terry are there to hold it off. In the hall, one of the creatures reaches for a door handle. The Spoon marches towards it, firing steadily. He crouches beneath the door to reload as a claw gropes through the smashed pane above his head. He braces himself, looking up at the window. Cooper grabs a pan of boiling water from the lit stove. Terry scrambles away from the door as Cooper hurls the water through the window. Terry grabs the pan and starts battering the werewolf with it. With a manic grin, Joe marches towards a window, blasting away at a werewolf. He gets so close that the creature snatches his gun.
Fuck!
It fires back in, but misses. Joe primes a grenade.
Fire in the hole!
He hurls it out of the window. He's blown to the floor by the blast. Joe grabs the empty gun that the werewolf has thrown back in, scrambles to his feet, and starts to reload. As his fingers race to finish the job, the door on the chain is pounded, throwing Cooper to the floor. He wedges his gun against the door. Meanwhile, Joe is still trying to reload. The werewolf outside rushes away. A hairy arm punches Spoon to the floor. A door opens and a red gas cylinder topples towards him. He just manages to roll aside to avoid being smashed in the face. Joe has reloaded. A werewolf's claw smashes through the boarded window behind Joe and grabs him. Spoon gets up off the floor and loads his gun. Joe is still struggling against the creature's grip. Cooper rushes in. Spoon drops explosives out of the window. Cooper picks up the broadsword and hacks the werewolf's hand off, leaving it gripping Joe's shoulder.
Cheers, mate.
Cooper hears something smashing in the room above and looks up.
Sarge.
As a werewolf tries reaching for the doorknob through a letterbox, Cooper dashes for the stairs. He runs into the Sarge's room and sees a creature by the window.
Sarge! Sarge!
He's floored by a werewolf at another window and loses his gun as he hits the floor. He flails madly for his weapon as the second beast tries to get in.
Faster! Sarge! Sarge, wake up! Fucking wake up, you bastard! Sarge! Jesus!
He uses a camera flash to dazzle the werewolf.
Sam!
He hacks at the gun at the window and it falls away. Cooper reaches under the bed and finally manages to retrieve his gun. The Sarge comes too and holds guns in both hands. The two men combine fire on the remaining werewolf and blast it out of the window. The Sarge's grim face looks clammy. Everything seems eerily quiet. Downstairs, Megan stares anxiously through the darkness with Sam. The house in the werewolf's black and white vision. Terry stands by a window, breathing heavily.
Dogs. More like pussies.
Clawed hands reach in through the window and drag him outside. Megan stares out in helpless horror. She turns her right hand and sees that she's cut her palm on the broken glass in the window frame. She backs away from the window, slowly.
You all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm peachy, mate. Cope.
The Sarge beckons him closer.
Squad's yours, mate.
Cooper stares at him, then hurries out. The Sarge gazes at a small photo he's holding in front of his face. He turns his head on the pillow, and his hand sinks down slowly, his eyes closing. Cooper rejoins the others downstairs.
They took Terry.
Let me go and get him back.
Too fucking right.
Forget about him.
Cooper glares at Ryan and takes a few steps closer to him.
What did you say?
He's dead, Cooper, and you know it.
Shit!
Somebody must have heard some gunfire. Somebody must have heard something.
Who? The only other house within 50 miles of here is mine, and I'm not there.
Well, what about the road, man? Passers-by.
Do you have any idea what kind of luck you had running into me out there tonight?
I thought you ran into us.
Joe, check upstairs.
Even if anyone did come by, they'd only end up lands for the slaughter like you. Our only hope is daylight. Sunrise is in 6 hours.
We did the best we could. But if the Sarge's condition deteriorates, he'll have less than 4. And the only thing holding them back is they don't know how much ammunition we have left.
The house looks gloomy in the moonlight. A clock reads 5:05.
Let's have a look at that.
Tell me, honestly, what are our chances?
Morale seems good, considering. But that'll only last as long as the ammunition holds out. High spirits are just no substitute for 800 rounds a minute, but I don't think that's what you want to hear.
Think about it, Cooper. Up until today, you believed there was a line between myth and reality. It may have been a very fine line sometimes, but at least it was a line. Those things out there are real. And if they're real, what else is real? You know what lives in the shadows now. You may never get another night's sleep as long as you live.
So why worry, Cooper? You may not live that long.
Shut your mouth. We're not going to make it through this. You know why? I don't scare that easy.
Cooper's bandaged Megan's hand.
Yeah. Supposed to be lucky.
For me or the rest of the rabbit?
You'll need a lot more than luck this time.
Shut up, Ryan! Listen to me, Cooper. Ignore him. We can survive till sunrise. That's all that matters. It's just a few more hours.
Wait a minute. Am I missing something here?
Cooper studies Megan's face with an intense frown.
I know him. I was seconded to his team during their first visit here.
First visit? What first visit? What the fuck are you talking about?
They came to check out the stories. They needed an expert. It's just a few more hours, Cooper. That's all it is.
All clear?
Yeah.
You want to kill them all?
Yes.
Good, keep it up. What's the damage, Spoon?
Well, we might have pissed on our chips. We've only got 2 full mags for the MP5s, 6 rounds for the shotgun, and 1 spare, just in case.
Stay sharp, everyone.
Cooper puts a pistol on the wooden table. With a grim expression, he slowly slides it over to Megan. They look at each other, and she picks the gun up. She gets to her feet and tucks the gun into her trousers at the small of her back. Ryan and Cooper share a hard look. Mist swirls around the house. Blue moonlight shines on Megan's face as she peers out between the boards on a window at snarling werewolves outside. Her eyes flit to a wooden barn not far away, shrouded in the nighttime mist. Spoon to Cooper.
We're putting fire down all over. I mean, we filled those things with lead and they just kept on getting up and coming back at us. 60 rounds, man, then the last 2 minutes.
So either we all make a break for it and fight our way clear, or the rest of us keep them occupied while one of us goes for help.
By the time the cavalry get here, we'll have to pick what's left of us from between their fucking teeth.
Instantly, the men spring into action. They wait poised with their guns aimed. Spoon relaxes and lowers his weapon. Joe.
Fucking brilliant. We either stay and snuff it, or we all go and snuff it.
Decisions, decisions.
Laugh. and nearly died.
Who's stopping you?
Fire, that's it! Oh. We'll fucking have him!
Take it easy, Big Mouth. Calm down.
Do any of you know how to hotwire a car?
What?
They keep an old Land Rover in the barn. I don't know where the keys are, but if one of you could break in and start it, then...
I can do that.
Are you sure?
Piece of piss. Anyway, the further I am from this wanker, the happier I'll be.
All right. You're gonna need a decoy. Something fast and loud.
Everyone turns to look at Spoon, chewing gum at the table.
What? You what?
A candle is lit while the Sarge sleeps.
You sit. Stay.
Megan ties a thick rope to the bed. Joe is watching her.
You're serious about this werewolf thing, aren't you?
Afraid so.
Shit. Don't suppose you know who won the match?
I didn't even know there was a game on.
It's not a game.
Right, this is it. Everyone get ready.
Bollocks.
They move furniture in the room, uncovering two opposite windows. Megan passes the rope out of one of them.
Joe. Good luck, Matt.
You don't get off the hook that easy.
Joe positions himself in one window. Spoon jumps out of the other that has Megan's rope dangling from it. He lands easily and makes his way cautiously through the trees. The night scene is as clear as day in the werewolf's black and white vision. Spoon's grimy, sweaty face is bathed in moonlight. He looks around him, chewing slowly.
All right, you bastards! Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough!
He sets off a flare, which he holds high above his head in his right hand. It illuminates him brightly, showering sparks.
Well, come on, you beauty!
A werewolf closes in on him. Megan's watching.
They took the bait.
Joe jumps out of the other window as a werewolf rushes towards Spoon.
Come on!
He drops the flare and legs it. Joe sprints towards the barn while Cooper slides a wardrobe back across the window. Joe reaches the barn and opens its door carefully.
Move your fucking arse, soldier! Come on!
Trying!
Spoon's hauled up in through the window just in time.
I love it when a posh bear talks dirty.
The rope goes caught. Joe is trying to throw his hammer against the window frame.
Jesus! Fuck it up!
Fuck him, Sandy Cooper!
Fucking cunt!
As they frantically try to cut the rope, Megan uses a camera flash to dazzle the werewolf that's climbed the rope and is trying to get in. The last fibres of the rope break and the werewolf falls away from the window. In the barn, Joe gets into the car. The car's headlights illuminate a werewolf in the barn. It has Terry in its claws. Terry reaches out feebly towards Joe as the creature slowly sinks its teeth into his throat, then throws Terry's bloody, severed head onto the bonnet.
Fuck this!
The werewolf reaches into the car, but Joe manages to fight it off and reverses the 4x4 through the wooden barn wall. He reverses at speed across open ground. Cooper's watching.
Stand it. Ryan, up. Everyone else downstairs. Come on, move it. Come on.
All right.
Move. Move.
Staring rigidly ahead in the driver's seat, Joe senses hot breath in his ear.
You're behind me, aren't you?
Steaming breath drifts from the back of the car.
I'm gonna fucking have you!
He leaps into the back. The inside of the car's windscreen turns red. Spoon covers Cooper as they open the front door. They advance the short distance to the car, open the rear door, and see Joe's corpse in the back. Blood and intestines pour out as the werewolf snarls. Megan fires at the creature repeatedly until she's out of bullets. They just manage to get inside again. The Sarge leans back on the door, panting heavily. Megan touches a cut on her left cheek and looks at the blood. Later, she's sitting at a cluttered piano by candlelight. There's a book of sheet music open in front of her. Looking pensive, she shakes her head sadly, brushes her hair back, and looks down at the keys. She looks up at the music. Ryan, Spoon, and Cooper look lost in deep thought. Cooper holds his gun, pointing at the ceiling, and watching Megan play. The Sarge is staring blankly into space, resting his thumb on his forehead. Outside, the car's headlights illuminate the clouds of drifting mist. The full moon hangs in the pitch-black sky. Cooper comes to stand in the doorway, staring at Megan with a frown. She becomes aware of him and turns her head. The clock reads 3:20. Later, Cooper comes in from outside, and the door's carefully secured.
Well, she's in a bad way. Fuel pump's gone, fan belt's bugging, she's pissing out petrol like there's no tomorrow.
What bone springs to mind?
Joe's body.
It's gone.
Cooper to Spoon in the other room.
What's the damage, Spoon?
We're down to 48 rounds.
Check the right. Well, Ryan, you heard the score. Maybe one or two of us are going to make it through this. I don't care much for our chances. Do you like football?
What? They think it's all over and all that crap. No, I don't.
Now, Joe, you remember Joe? He liked football. Fucking lived for it.
Is this relevant?
He missed the most important match of his life for this bullshit exercise, and now he's dead. Along with two other mates, I'd have readily given my right arm for two fucking right. It's relevant!
You just can't get past the dog, can you?
We're losing, Ryan. We're 3-0 down, and we're close to the final whistle. At the very least, I want to even the score.
I understand your resentment. But you failed because you weren't prepared to take that extra step. If you passed, you would have been on my team, and if you were on my team, you'd be dead.
Yeah, I failed. And I'm bloody glad of it. Because given the choice of taking orders from a toffee-nosed twat like you and slogging it out with these guys, I'll take the underdogs any time, so you can take a precious selection, shove it up your arse, and stop trying to change the fucking subject!
Ryan glares at Cooper coldly. Megan, Spoon, and the Sarge watch the interaction.
Fair enough. But you won't like what I have to tell you. There are some places you really shouldn't go.
We'll be the judge of that, Ryan.
Ever heard of Special Weapons Division? They're the men in white coats who train dolphins to stick mines on submarines and cute furry animals to tear your head off at the neck. They saw an opportunity and called me in.
To do what? Catch one of these things?
And to bring it back. Alive, if possible.
Only it turned out to be them.
We underestimated enemy numbers.
Underestimated? I'd have a serious word with your head shed about the quality of their intelligence.
It may have been their invitation, but it was my party. I planned and executed it.
Then you loused it up. We lost good men, Ryan. Yours and mine.
The Sarge holds up the transmitter chip.
I want to know where we fit in.
The reality is you're expendable. And I had approval to put you at risk.
Get to the fucking point, Ryan.
I made a gap in enemy lines. You were good enough to spot it and predictable enough to go for it. That was your bait. You were mine.
Cooper takes his knife from Ryan's throat.
You bastard.
I had to choose somebody. I remembered you. Monkey see, monkey do.
They were my men!
Get up, you shit. You know what we can do. Give us a fighting chance!
You're the man, Cooper.
He's going to charge, throw Ryan over the table.
Well, I ain't hitting that hard.
Shake something loose.
Ryan's pupils have turned canine. He bares his teeth and spasms in agony. He falls to the floor, scratching long claws that have grown from his fingertips along the tabletop. Cooper eyes the sword lying nearby as he and the Sarge watch fearfully. He's become a towering werewolf. Megan uses the camera flash. The Sarge throws a stick.
Fetch! Make the shot! Clear!
Cooper stabs the werewolf.
Go and get some! I've got target!
Boom guns the creature as it runs to the boarded up window and smashes its way out. Megan gets up off the floor slowly. Spoon keeps his gun trained on the window. Later, the Sarge is boarding it up again.
Werewolves spend most of their time in human form, right? And the only people for miles around live right here.
So these things aren't about to give up the fight and go home?
They are home.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. We bust into their house, we eat all their porridge, we sleep in their fucking beds. No wonder they're pissed off.
But they're good people. They're kind people.
More's the pity.
Why?
So we're gonna have to kill them all.
It's all right, mate.
The Sarge smashes a framed family photo. Megan looks thoughtful. Later, they're searching for anything that might be made of silver. A bread knife, a pan, an old metal box. Cutlery.
Self-respecting werewolf would have anything silver in the house anyway.
Yeah, well, fuck the folklore. Let's just burn them.
Yeah.
Think you want to find them?
Maybe we do. Everything we've seen so far suggests the behaviour of a pack. 6 to 8 members, an alpha pair leading the subordinates, and a young male, a beta wolf, second in command. Makes sense.
Yeah, you lost me.
A wolf pack sticks together, generally somewhere close to its food supply. Somewhere safe, sheltered, and warm.
Megan and Cooper look out at the barn.
You're gonna have to move like shit off a shovel on this one, mate.
Oh, you worry about your own shit, mate. You blow that fuse, that place is going up like Zabriskie Point. Just make it work.
Yeah, it's easy peasy.
And lemon squeezy.
Listen, cool.
He turns to Spoon.
What about the Sarge?
What about the Sarge?
You know what I mean?
A distant look in Cooper's eyes.
Sarge is with us.
Yeah, I just didn't want him to go without getting his watch back.
Standing with another large gas cylinder, Spoon smiles grimly to himself. Megan to Sam.
You stay out of trouble.
She gets to her feet with a weary smile. Cooper frowns at the Sarge, who's making Molotov cocktails, plugging bottles of liquid with rags.
You all right?
Cooper avoids his steely gaze.
What if she's wrong? What if they're not all in there, eh?
Then we only get some of them. It's a shitload better than none of them, and a marked improvement on all of us.
No, 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 you listen to me. You get the fuck out now. I hold them back, I keep them occupied, and you get out.
We've lost enough men for one night, don't you think?
Let me show you something.
His stomach wounds have healed to scars.
Now do not tell me that that is fucking normal. What happened to Ryan is happening to me. It's just a matter of time, mate.
You'll stop wasting time with this Harry Carey crap. This fight isn't lost yet.
With Ryan, it only took a couple of hours, mate. It's a full moon. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's like when you need to take a piss or something. I don't know. When you gotta go, you gotta fucking go.
Yeah, well, maybe it's more like needing a shite. Just because you need one doesn't mean you drop your kegs and pinch one off. Anyway, fuck Ryan. Shifty bastard could have been one of those things from the start.
You know, Kip, there's one more thing you gotta learn about command, mate. Sometimes the people that you kill are your own men. So I'm asking you, let me take care of myself. And at least spare you the unfortunate business of trying to explain to Annie why you had to incinerate me.
We're gonna knock seven colours of shit out of these fuckers. We need you.
It's all right, you know, mate. It's okay. I just didn't make it out this time, that's all. It goes to the job, do you know what I mean? When I signed my life away on that dotted line, I fucking meant it. I am a professional soldier.
The Sarge stares at Cooper intensely.
So what do you want me to do?
There are tears in Cooper's eyes.
Roast her bollocks off.
All clear.
Good luck.
Cooper and Spoon lug the canister into the back of the 4x4, then Megan closes the door behind them. While Cooper works on hot-wiring the 4x4, Spoon climbs underneath and ruptures the vehicle's petrol tank. Cooper gets the engine started, then after receiving an all-clear from Spoon, he pulls away from the house with a canister rolling back and forth behind him. Spoon tries to light a match, but it snaps and doesn't ignite. Cooper jumps out of the moving 4x4, rolling when he hits the ground, then watches as the vehicle coasts into the barn.
Light it!
Shit!
Cooper makes a dash towards the house as Spoon gets down to his last match.
Sarge!
The Sarge emerges from the house, holding a blazing Molotov cocktail, which he hurls to the ground. The trail of petrol ignites, sending a streak of flames towards the barn. Sprinting in the opposite direction, Cooper races the advancing flames. Spoon and the Sarge fall back into the house, leaving Cooper to hurdle the fiery obstacle in front of the door and throw himself inside. Spoon rushes to a window in time to see the barn being devastated by an almighty explosion. While the Sarge shields his eyes, Cooper turns away from the door to find himself face to face with Megan.
I'm sorry.
Cooper doesn't understand. She takes a step back.
When I found you out there tonight, I truly believed you were the best chance I had of getting out. But now we have no chance. There is no out. There never was. I came here to be at one with nature. Well, I got what I wanted. Now I have to live with it.
There is no house in the next glen.
No.
And there were no werewolves in the barn when it blew?
Not one.
The Sarge loads his pistol.
And the reason you're not in the photographs is because you took it.
I never meant to...
New woman. Same old shite.
Being nice to women will get you nowhere, Cooper. Being nice to me will get you killed. You may think they're all bitches, but... I'm the real thing.
She doubles over in pain. Struggling to regain her composure.
Do you think I like being part of this fucked up family? Do you think I chose to run with the pack? No. I chose you. But now you're out of luck and I'm out of time. And all we can do is let nature take its course. They were always here. I just unlocked the door. It's that time of the month.
As she closes her eyes and lowers her head, the enormous silhouette of a werewolf slowly rises up behind her, flanked by two more of the creatures. Megan flashes razor sharp fangs, but the Sarge swiftly puts a bullet in her head.
Somebody has been out of this misery.
One, two,
get clear! Go now!
Spoonie, stop fucking around!
While Spoon's forced to hold up in the kitchen, Cooper and the Sarge dash upstairs. Pulling the pin on a grenade, Cooper rolls it back along the landing, then turns away when it comes to rest at the top of the stairs. Spoon barricades the kitchen door with a chair, then stands back and fires. Running out of ammo, he discards his rifle and waits, jigging on the spot like a boxer. After unloading a few rounds into an advancing werewolf with little effect, Cooper backtracks into an empty bathroom.
Sarge!
Lighting a fluorescent tube, the Sarge sits himself down on a toilet and puts his feet up against the door.
Sarge!
I'm in the car seat! I'm in the car seat!
While the doors protecting the Sarge and Cooper hold firm, the one separating Spoon and his attacker is finally penetrated. Bobbing and weaving, Spoon hits the werewolf with a few jabs before taking a blow to the face himself. Recovering, he plunges a kitchen knife into the beast, then kicks out one of its teeth. In the bathroom, Cooper kicks the wash basin onto the floor, spraying water everywhere. Meanwhile, next door, the Sarge holsters his gun, and after pressing his full body weight against the toilet door, he spots an aerosol and takes aim. An arm breaks through the door and makes a grab at him. In a frenzy, Spoon stabs at the werewolf. Blood splatters everywhere, but the creature rises up and hurls Spoon across the room. Cooper smashes up the washroom while the Sarge ignites the spray from his aerosol. Now Cooper's trying to put a hole in the bathroom wall before the werewolf can put a hole in the door.
I'm running out, Cooper! I'm running out!
Spoon throws dishes at the werewolf. Moving across the kitchen, he bombards the creature with pots and pans. Cooper plunges a pipe into the werewolf's forehead. Pounding the werewolf with a frying pan, Spoon is about to make a killer blow when his weapon is knocked from his hands by another creature, which grabs him by the throat and pins him against the wall.
I hope I give you the shits, you fucking wimp.
As he spits in his mouth, across the room, Sam's watching curiously. Cooper's managed to break his way into the toilet.
Go away!
Cooper takes hold of the sergeant's knife, while downstairs, two werewolves are tucking into Spoon. Sam's been noticed too. Having used the knife to hack out a hole in another wall, Cooper squeezes through into the bedroom. With his can now empty, the Sarge quickly follows. Covering the hole with a suitcase and some other junk, they pull a bookshelf onto the floor and barricade the bedroom door. Then, standing back, Cooper aims his rifle at the door while the Sarge holds up his fluorescent tube. The door opens a few inches, but the barricade holds. The Sarge and Cooper inch towards it.
Cooper, let's get in the wardrobe, son.
What?
Let's get in the wardrobe.
You all right?
They climb into the wardrobe and close the door behind them.
What's that smell?
I don't know.
There's a skeleton in the closet. Cooper hands over the rifle.
Open your mouth! Watch your ears! Mind your toes!
The Sarge shoots a hole in the floor. Cooper falls into the kitchen and is quickly followed by the Sarge, who then picks up the gun and fires at it through the hole. Cooper checks on Sam.
Where's Spoon?
The Sarge pulls a wristwatch from the blood and guts.
There is no Spoon.
No, you fucking bastard!
Help me, Cooper! Stop it!
Cooper helps the Sarge barricade the door with the kitchen table. Desperately trying to think, the Sarge spots something on the floor. It's a hatch to the cellar. They open it. The Sarge takes out his pistol.
What are you doing?
It's one of the chamber, mate. Fucking binge!
Yeah, we gotta get out or we don't fucking go!
It's my love story, chicken. Do not fuck about! Do not disobey me! Come here, you fucking son! Listen, you've got to make it out alive. This happened. Not just for me, my life.
The Sarge is in pain.
Go! Go!
As Cooper reluctantly climbs down through the hatch, the Sarge's pain intensifies. Throwing himself to the floor, he writhes in agony before somehow managing to get back on his feet and close the hatch behind Cooper. Moving over to the stove, he lifts two pans off the hob and uses them to douse the fire in the range cooker. Taking another fall, he staggers back to the stove and picks up a cleaver, frothing at the mouth as he yanks out a gas pipe and cuts it in half. Discarding the cleaver, he leans against a cupboard and reaches into his top pocket. Taking out his wallet, he removes a photograph and holds it up. A woman with short dark hair smiles back at him. The barricade is breached, and three werewolves file into the kitchen. Below, Cooper's watching shadows through the cracks in the floorboards as the creatures loom over his comrade. The Sarge holds up a lighter, but a werewolf knocks it from his hand. Then, looking up with yellow animal eyes, the Sarge summons his strength and punches the igniter button on the hob. In the cellar, Cooper cowers and covers his ears as the house is obliterated by the explosion. Things begin to settle. Cooper opens his eyes. Then, as if taking in all that has happened, he strains to hold back the tears. Time has passed, but Cooper hasn't moved. Noticing a patch of light from above, he moves towards it.
Look.
All around him, human carcasses hang from the ceiling like pieces of meat. A blow knocks Cooper against a wall.
Ryan, you tried licking your own balls yet?
The werewolf grabs him by the throat.
I forgot. You don't fucking have any.
With the sword still lodged in his torso, Ryan proceeds to bombard him with punches to the face. Cooper remains defiant. Grabbing his head, Ryan pulls it towards the sword jutting from his chest. Cooper's teeth grind against the metal as it slowly enters his mouth. Sam jumps onto the werewolf's back, drawing its attention away from Cooper. Looking down, Cooper spots the canvas silver letter opener and picks it up. Getting to his feet, he pulls the sword from Ryan's back, then plunges the letter opener into his chest. Diving across the floor, he grabs a pistol and holds it to the werewolf's forehead.
I think it's all over. It is now.
He shoots a hole in the creature's head. A weary Cooper opens a door and steps out into the daylight. Stopping momentarily to look back, he crosses the threshold with Sam by his side. Standing in front of the house that's been reduced to a doorway and surrounded by devastation, Cooper breathes in the morning air.